So today you're gonna hear some crazy stuff, to be honest with you.
All right.
Well, either way, I mean, I have two choices. To hide what I see in a secret place, or to sound the trumpet, and I guess take whatever responsibility it is that I would have to take for it.
Amen. I agree with that.
Because there's going to be always people saying all kinds of things.
That's right. We are called to speak the truth, brother. So.
Yeah. So you know, what I'm thinking is, if you like, I can start from childhood, because that's where it all began. Forward, how these things started to manifest. Kind of talk about the transitioning from a non-Christian to a Christian, and then what I was seeing from that moment on.
Welcome to the On Fire for God Today podcast, which aims to inspire, encourage, and otherwise edify believers, new and old, and to help our loving Father draw new believers to Him via the everlasting gospel of His Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Sean Madden, and in today's episode, we'll talk again with David Pavlovsky of streetchurch.ca in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. David is the brother of Pastor Archer Pavlovsky, the pastor of the Cave of Adullam and Street Church, both in Calgary. Pastor Art was unlawfully arrested and imprisoned since the 8th of February, first in Calgary, and as of a few days ago in the Edmonton Remand Center. If you didn't yet listen to our previous interview with David in episode 1, we highly recommend that you consider listening to it first and then return to this follow-on episode. We're going to get into more personal details as well as an update on Pastor Art. Thank you, David, for joining us again here today.
Hello, hello. Hello to you. Hello to everybody that's listening. May God bless you and strengthen you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let us ask our Father in Jesus' name to fill us both, David, with the Holy Spirit. We pray, Father God, that you oversee, as always, this and every conversation. Let no unrighteous utterance pass through our mouths. We pray, Father God, that you just oversee everything. And we seek to speak the truth no matter what, Father. So we just ask that you oversee this conversation, guide us, take control of this conversation, dear Lord. And we pray that it glorifies you and edifies the listeners out there. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, David, I know a lot has happened since we talked just 9 days ago with regard to Pastor Art. Can you just give us a quick update for our listeners on the latest concerning his bail situation and also what's taking place in Edmonton right now?
Well, yes, finally, the bail date was honored like it should have been many, many, many weeks ago by the Crown here in Canada. And the bail hearing went on with very harsh, terrible, I believe in every aspect, anti-democratic, anti-Canadian conditions. My brother was granted bail, of course, with all kinds of crazy conditions. At this moment, there is a sort of like a publicity ban at this moment. So I can't go into great details about certain things, but what they did a day before the bail hearing, they moved them 300 kilometers north of Calgary to the city called Edmonton, to another penitentiary there.
Right.
You know, can you imagine 300 kilometers away from the family, away from his lawyers, away from the church, away from the place where he lives? So that was done on purpose for many reasons, to humiliate him, to show him that he's nothing, that they got all the ultimate power, et cetera, et cetera. And many other things that we we know of but cannot talk yet. But nevertheless, they moved them to an even worse place than he was in Calgary. They put him in an absolute segregation building, without any blankets, without anything to cover himself, with a t-shirt, with the air conditioning blasting nonstop. So it seems like they wanted him to get sick.
Yes.
Absolutely, there was no way for him to even sleep a minute. So once again, a way of a torture. You know, what is alarming is that you hear about this kind of treatment in North Korea, China, you know, under the Soviets, where we grew up. But in Canada, in a Western so-called Judeo-Christian democratic country, it is unbelievable.
That's right.
It's disgusting. It's totally against human rights. They kept him in that place. I think in that wing was only one another inmate somewhere far away. So completely no window, no, just cement walls, small cell, no blanket, nothing.
Right.
Complete segregation from humanity. You know, we got to remember, this is not some mass murderer. This is not some crazy top drug dealer. We are talking about a pastor.
Yes.
That's been saving lives for over 20 years in the city of Calgary without taking one penny from this de facto government.
Yes.
It's sick. It's absolutely sick. Why do I say de facto? Because all of the elections were rigged.
Yeah.
For many, many years now. So to me, this is a de facto government. To every Canadian freedom-loving patriot, everybody knows this was a charade. This was a joke. Unfortunately, mixed with a Greek tragedy. So here we are. Art is, I think he was moved just recently to a wing where there is mentally ill people. Okay. To further humiliate him.
Yes.
People with all kinds of, you know, all kinds of weird psychological, you know, traumas, or, you know, there's people that walk in circles, people that every few minutes say that their name is a different name. And
right.
In other words, they did this to humiliate him even more.
Yes.
What's alarming that many Christians are waking up, but the leadership, oh my God, have mercy on us. Shame on them, you know, shame on them. I believe my brother's arrest, it is very prophetic. What people don't realize here, you know, and I'm not really fully talking about the unbelievers. I mean, they dwell in darkness. They don't know any better. They live in darkness. Their father is the devil.
Yes,
that's what the Bible says. But you know, I'm talking about those who claim they have the light. They claim that Jesus is their God.
Yes,
they really have no idea that what's coming next is them. And I believe it's going to come to them like a thief in the night.
Yes.
They have dug holes in which they themselves will fall into. And I say that with a very broken heart, because wherever there is still a cross, even if that congregation is not fully following Jesus, but there is still a cross. And if that cross falls, to me, that is a terrible thing. That is a tragedy. You know, remember the famous words of Paul when the disciples came to him when he was in prison and said, hey, these people are preaching Jesus for money. These people are preaching Jesus for gain. These people are preaching Jesus for their own 5 cents. Mm-hmm. And Paul said, well, at least Jesus is being preached. And of course, we know that people like this that are using God's name for their own business gain and their own little kingdoms, they will pay a terrible price when they stand before the holy God. But very sad situation in Canada. I mean, statistically, when you Google how many Christians are in Canada, it says 26 million.
Yeah.
And, you know, and yet look at this cowardly giant that's hiding under the broom, thinking that they can escape the judgment of God, but by being quiet, thinking that by being quiet, they can keep their hands clean. On the contrary, because they didn't want to get their hands dirty, they will be judged for it.
I think there's a lot to be said about the churches and why they are not supporting openly and actively Pastor Art. And I think there's a whole host of reasons, but I think, you know, of course the leadership is going to be much more in the know of what they're doing and why they're doing it and what their calculations are. But I think, as you said in the last interview, David, the church is asleep. You know, there's a lot of nominal Christians. You know, I believe there are 33 million people in Canada in total. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that 25 million figure of nominal Christians, that's presumably coming from the census, where somebody ticks what religion they belong to. We have the same situation here in the United Kingdom, where an estimated 1 in 2 people are said to be Christian. But coming from somebody like myself, who's out on the streets preaching, if you believe that 1 out of every 2 people is a Christian, you're out of your mind. So that nominal label of Christianity, to be a Christian, means so very little. And so most of these people have absolutely no idea what the true church should be doing. They have no idea what the Word of God says. They're not abiding in the Bible. They're not abiding in prayer. They don't have a personal relationship with the Lord God Almighty. And so, you know, it's just a joke, really, to even consider these folk as part of the body of Christ. And it's a terrible tragedy. I think, as you were saying a moment ago, David, the wolves in sheep clothing are going to be the ones who are going to have to answer to that when they are face to face with their maker. And they're going to have to explain why their respective congregations, why their respective flocks were by and large wholly ignorant of God's word and what Jesus himself had commanded us to do and what he had very clearly showed us was coming by way of revelation of the prophetic messages that were shared in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And so, you know, they're not preparing the flocks for the days that are at hand. They are, by not preparing the flocks for the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, they are in actuality preparing the flocks for the Antichrist. And I know that's a shocking, terrible message. But if people don't know the Word of God, if they don't know the particularities of what we're facing in these last days, if they don't know the prophecies to come, if the wolves in sheep's clothing behind the pulpits are not warning the congregants of what is to take place and how they must be prepared and what to expect, well, Jesus Christ, as you said, David, is going to come like a thief in the night, and they're not going to know what hits them. And so if there are any nominal Christians listening to us today, the likelihood might be that most of you are not nominal Christians, or you probably wouldn't be listening to a podcast called On Fire for God Today. But if you're not on fire for God today, folks, if you fall into that category of being a churchianity, nominal Christian, then today is the day of your salvation. It is time to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. We're all running out of time. And we're running out of time to get the everlasting gospel message out as far as we can, out into the world. There are countless souls hanging in the balance right now, not only outside of the church, but a great many within the church. I would suggest that an overwhelming percentage, an overwhelming majority of those who are in the Christian church have yet to be truly born again, as we are told we must be in John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3. So, yeah, David, I'm in complete agreement. These church leaders who are failing to come to the aid and the support of your brother, Pastor Art, they will be answering to the Lord for that matter and for a great many other matters, I think, that are more foundational as to why they are not speaking out, why they are not speaking out, not only about Pastor Art and the conditions that he has been kept in unlawfully, but also not speaking out about the scamdemic, about these lethal injections that the church, in many cases, I don't know about Canada specifically, but I know in the US, are actually, their church facilities and parking lots have been used as quote unquote vaccination centers. So they have a lot to answer for. But our topic here today is how to be on fire for God. We know that your brother, Pastor Art, is absolutely on fire for the Lord. David, I know that you personally are on fire for the Lord. And so we just want to hear whatever messages of strength and inspiration, edification and encouragement that you can share with us. With regard to what's taking place in Edmonton right now, I know that you've sort of talked about this, and we all have our ideas as to why Pastor Art was moved, several days ago. But has the state proffered any justification or reason as to why he was moved from Calgary to Edmonton?
Well, they're saying that he's a danger to the inmates and to the guards.
Oh, right.
So they're making things up. You know, the couple here, dressed as police, unfortunately has no problem lying, fabricating. And, I just want to add, there's probably some percentage of good guards and good police.
Yes.
But by the fruits we judge, I mean, the sick thing is they will smile at you the 1 second. And then when the order comes to hit you with a stick, they have no problem doing it.
That's unfortunately exactly right.
So what's happening now is they didn't release him yet, because when he was in prison, they gave me and my brother extra charges, and that was for so-called breaching of the conditions.
Right.
And it was because in November we did the community hours.
Yeah.
And the officer, the woman officer here, the parole officer, did not accept these hours. So, it's a discrimination. It was a Christian ministry that we did the hours, and she decided at the last moment, no, I'm not accepting them. And the second breach was that we dared to go to express our disgust to Coppings, which he was the minister of health. We went on the street, not on his property, but on the street, on a public street, to express our disgust with his segregation, with his Nazi segregation tactics. Mm-hmm. So for that, we were stopped, arrested, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So now we are waiting for another bail hearing for Arthur.
Right. And when is that next expected bail hearing?
Well, this is it. There is no date.
Right.
So we pray that this is going to be as soon as possible. on Monday's birthday. So we are hoping that he will be out on Monday.
Right. David, since he was arrested on the 8th of February, how many bail hearings have been scheduled between his arrest and what, this past Friday, I guess?
Two.
And
from what I understand, it was two, and they were all moved. They removed them from the calendar.
Right.
So it's obvious they wanted to keep him in order to punish him, in order to break him, in order to show that pretty much Christianity in this country is nothing. So that's what's, just to add to it, in Calgary, some of the guards put him in a cell, and the prisoners called the cell where like a beating up cell. So what they do is they throw you in that cell, they keep the door open, and they tell the prisoners, have a go at him.
Right.
Okay.
Now, that specifically in Calgary or in Edmonton?
That was in Calgary.
Right.
Yeah, so it's unbelievable, you know, the corruption, the hate, the animosity, there was a guard that said, hey, you should probably change your faith. It's like
wow.
You're like, just it's antichrist.
That's right. We're seeing that. I mean, we alluded to this in the last interview, but this is not limited to Canada. We're seeing this in the UK, the US, Australia, New Zealand, all across Europe, all across the world. We're seeing the exact same tactics taking place. With regard to the prayer vigil that has been held on a regular basis throughout these past 6 to 7 weeks in Calgary, what's going to happen with that prayer vigil now? Are you shifting to Edmonton?
Well, there is a church there. May God bless them and repay them hundredfold. That is on fire, and the pastor there said we're gonna be there. They're going to have a vigil over there. So may God bless them.
Praise
and
God.
Keep. So thank God that there is, in the midst of the traitors of Christ, the Judases, there is those, around that have not sold their inheritance for a bowl of soup.
Yeah, praise God. So what about the folks who are meeting regularly outside the Calgary Remand Center? Have they just packed up and gone home?
Well, this is what's happening. That's the next step that this wicked government has taken in Calgary. They've thrown an injunction that pretty much any type of protest is illegal. And they will arrest any participants at the spot. And some have been arrested already.
Right. So, some have been arrested already, you said?
Yeah, some have been arrested on protesting on in downtown Calgary.
Okay. In response, was that since the Friday bail decision?
No, every Saturday there is rallies here in Calgary.
Okay.
Showing the disgust with this tyranny,
and
abuse of power that the government is doing, complete lawlessness, disregarded to the Canadian law. So it's held every Saturday here, and we are not the organizers. And a few people were arrested. One was a trucker arrested for simply honking a horn. They made honking illegal in a city of Calgary.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's unbelievable. And when you watch the videos of how they treat the Canadian citizens, how the couple is so violent, so hateful, they should all be fired and stand before the courts. They should not even be a security guard at a mall.
Amen.
Ever again.
Amen.
And I pray and I hope that the people will rise up, and there will be Nuremberg number two.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll hold all of these tyrants accountable.
Absolutely. So, and what about the ministry that Pastor Art began in the Calgary Remand Center. You know, far from putting these inmates and guards in danger, he was bringing a great many of them to Jesus Christ for salvation. So there are people, these inmates, who had really grown to appreciate and support and love Pastor Art in the Calgary Remand Center. It would be a wonderful thing if somehow they could continue to be ministered to. I think they're going to, they've taken quite a hit themselves, losing that visible outward support of the prayer vigil being outside, you know, bringing some transparency and some love and support in Jesus Christ to all of their lives. You know, some of these inmates are going to really, I'm sure they're already feeling the loss of Pastor Art in that prison.
Well, when they moved them, within a couple of hours, they called Arthur's wife, and they said, listen, they moved Arthur. What's going on? Let us know what we can do. And Arthur's wife said, well, when are you getting out? One said, in 2 years. Okay, I will see you in 2 years.
Right.
That one said, few months. And you know, the inmates are calling that they want to help now. They said words like, you know, he brought fire to us.
Amen.
And he always said that through fire, God builds the character. And they said these words, now God is taking him through another fire to build his character.
That's incredible. Praise God.
They want to get out. When they get out, they're going to be baptized, you know. So it's you know, they've been touched in their life by Jesus like never before. So it's unbelievable.
Praise God. I don't know how exactly you can go about doing this, but anything that you and the Cave of Adullam and Street Church can do to keep track of those inmates and really follow them through the system, so that you can be sure to be there for them at the moment that they are released, probably sometime in the middle of a cold, dark night, and they have nowhere to go. It'd be really good if somehow you guys could keep in touch with these inmates who have been touched. And indeed, I don't know if this is possible, David, but if your church could possibly get Bibles to those inmates, that would be an extraordinary thing.
Yeah, it's a complicated thing, because remember, people that are in charge of these concentration camps are wicked people. They're evil. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah, I understand.
They hate God. You know, of course, we are going to absolutely have a prison ministry, and we're going to push towards that. Because now the need has been exposed,
yes,
to all people. You know, the crazy thing is they said that nobody cared for them for years, like nobody, mm-hmm, even, you know. And you know, as a ministry, you can only do so much, but we are talking just in the city of Calgary, there is over 500 churches.
Wow. That's what a are lot. They,
you know what I'm saying? What are they doing? Where, yeah, are they? I really haven't seen pretty much any of them outside of the four walls for 2 decades.
Yeah, that's right.
It is unbelievable. So Art is fasting. He's on his 8th day. And if anybody wants to join in a fast and pray that God will not only release him, but that there will be a reformation in the prison systems.
Amen.
And that there will be a reformation in Calgary and in Canada. So.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pledge right now. I didn't know that Art was fasting again, but I'm going to pledge right now to begin fasting as well, as part of our support for Pastor Art. Man, so that's a good thing indeed. Since we last talked, David, you had mentioned in the last interview a couple of documentaries. The first one, the Street Advocate documentary, which, well, I say first, it actually came out, I believe, in 2014. And also the Revival Hits Calgary, which was made by Pastor Art and his wife in 2005, I believe. And I just wanted to let you know that we have watched both of those now. They're both really amazing. And what's so incredible, you know, watching both of those documentaries, how much good Street Church has done in the city of Calgary is just extraordinary. But when you look at Revival Hits Calgary and all of those individuals whose lives have been completely changed for the better, that was in 2005. We're now in 2022. That's 17 years ago. So if all of those people had been touched back in 2005, yourself included, brother, if all of those people were touched and had their lives completely changed as they came to Christ 17 years ago, I can just, you know, it boggles the mind to imagine what the impact has been over the past 17 years since that documentary came out, all the work that Street Church has done. It's incredible.
Yes, you know, we can't even count how many miracles, how many times we casted out demons out of people. You know, the thing is, we take cameras with us everywhere since the very beginning. So
yes, I've noticed you must do. You always have a video camera. Somebody amongst you has a video camera going straight back to the early 2000s, and everything's documented. It's so good. It's extraordinary. So it's a very good policy.
Just a note, we were one of the first, if not the first ministry in Canada to go on YouTube and stream what God is doing. And, you know, there was two reasons, protection, because the couple have no problem lying.
That's okay? Right.
There's no moral standard anymore.
Amen.
And second reason is to show Christians God is a God of signs and wonders, and he will confirm with his power if you keep your nose clean, if you try to do your best and let God do the rest. And of course, it's a life of sanctification. One day we do better, one day we do worse, but God sees the heart. Mm-hmm. God sees the determination, loyalty. That's very important. When my suggestion is, if a person listening has a ministry and you decide to be, let's say, Monday somewhere, and you sound the trumpet and you're there, you better be there even if there is a tornado. Yeah. Because not only people are seeing if you're serious, and by that weight, they will see God, if he's serious or not. It's very important. But the principalities and powers will see that you're serious. God will watch and say, there is something special about this guy. I can count on him.
Yes.
And preach the gospel, do what God commands, and leave the rest to God. Same with the signs and wonders, same with healings. You know, we overthink a lot of things, but I got to tell you, one of the biggest miracles that I've seen was when I was absolutely empty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't feel the fire. I didn't feel, you know, like Jeremiah, and the fire is overwhelming, and I'm like a walking torch. It was when I was empty, when I was lacking, when I was questioning a little bit, like, you know, my state. And I just went to the street empty. But I obeyed. I laid my hands on the sick.
Yeah.
As the word of God said, and all of a sudden, a crooked leg started to fix itself. I mean, right? So that's another key thing for people to understand. The less of us, the more of Jesus.
Amen.
Just obey. Just simply obey like a child.
Yeah, his strength is made perfect in our weakness, right?
Amen. So what I want to kind of lead towards is that how come all of these big shot church leaders in Canada are not raising up? It's a few reasons. One reason is compromise. When you compromise a little bit with the enemy, And the charitable status, it's one of these compromises
mm-hmm.
where you sell the word of God for money and the government comes and tells you, well, you can't talk about homosexuality.
Yes,
you cannot
right.
talk about abortion yeah. because you're going to lose your charitable status. So these goals calculate, oh, but I can do so much good with that money. Who cares about that?
Mm-hmm.
A message that's already the devil is not under the bridges. He sends his demons, dogs there. He is with the elect. He is in the midst of the politics. That's where the devil is.
Yes.
So unfortunately, many of the big shot leaders here, church leaders, have invited the devil for one reason or another one, and that is compromise. The second thing is obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen.
They just simply do not obey Jesus. And what I mean by that is it's just we'll focus on just one thing out of many. And that one thing is go and preach the gospel. It says don't stay, marinate, go. They don't.
That's exactly right.
And if they do, they go to places like India, Africa, where they are like treated like celebrities, while their backyard is being overtaken by the enemies.
Absolutely. That's one of the things I think you guys have done a really great job showing is that, you know, there are many, many hungry people, homeless people in the city of Calgary. And why go off to Africa or India when you've got yeah. this huge homeless problem in your own backyard? Absolutely. And I think you're right. It's a real problem. It's a problem that we actually brush up against because we are constantly fielding invitations to come to somebody's church or their town or their city or their village in various countries in Africa, India, Pakistan, the Southeast Asia. And it's a really uncomfortable situation because it needn't be this, but so very often it starts to look like a quid pro quo situation where the quote unquote man of God from the West arrives to big banners and a filled up church. And there's an expectation that that's going to become a sort of satellite church for the big man of God from the West. There's going to be financial support. And it's a bit of a racket, a bit of a religious racket. And ministering to folk around the world is just filled with the potential for that pitfall. Because, you know, as Bible believing Christians, we want to truly believe that everybody who's coming to us is really on the up and up. And that they are speaking the truth, that they are not Christians for the sake of filthy lucre. But, you know, we have to be really careful. And it's hard to do your due diligence sufficiently of ministries that are, you know, on the other side of the world. So, you know, it's so important that we be taking care of the widows, the orphans, the homeless, the poor in spirit, those who are desperate in our own backyards, in our own communities, where we are able to actually follow everything from beginning to end. You know, you guys are able to keep track of a lot of these people who have been ministered to by Street Church. You've been able to develop relationships with some of these people and to see them go from drug addiction, you know, homelessness, and to see them back on their feet again, and to see these success stories. You know, we saw these in the Revival Hits Calgary YouTube series. You know, you're able to make sure that this work is actually being done. It's being done properly. Somebody's not taking kickbacks. It's actually reaching those who the financial supporters are being told that this money or the food or the aid is actually reaching the people that are meant to be helped by this. You know, so often I minister to a young man in Ghana. he has been an orphan throughout his life, you know, from a young child. And, you know, he tells a story that is so very common. These kids are put into these so-called Christian churches, and he, unbeknownst to the folks in this school, had taught himself English and was able to read. And he ended up seeing correspondence going to the administrators of this school, where he came to realize that these supporters in the West who are sending money over, they are expecting this money to be reaching these children, and it wasn't reaching the children. You know, it was being gobbled up by the fraudsters who were running this quote unquote Christian church, this Christian, well, it was a church, but also a Christian school attached to the church. And that's such a common story. So I think it's so important that we really do our due diligence. And, you know, it's much easier to do that, and we can do it much more effectively and really see things through when we are serving those who are in our own communities before paying some, you know, missionary to go to India or Africa. And so very often, very little comes back in return in terms of any substantive numbers of souls saved. So anyways, I think you're on the right track.
Yeah, you know, this another thing is, you're right about people that are in every country, they should catch the fire. They had many decades to do it and to deal with their problems back in their homes. And this is the problem. We weren't many, well, I would say few that we know of preachers that were establishing something, or they established something all over the world, and they started to justify a year and a half ago that they need to take the job because they need to be there. So I warned them. I said, listen, you don't have to be there. It is time for people in Africa to do African business.
Amen.
Okay? You're not Jesus. If the globalists want you to take a job that potentially might kill you, do not test the Lord. Guess what? He thought he's irreplaceable. He thought that without him, the Holy Spirit and the country is going to crumble over there.
Mm-hmm.
Without the Holy Spirit in him.
Yeah, that's right.
And he took it. And guess what? Heart attack.
Right.
You know, so of course, now he's still justifying it, that this had nothing to do with this job. But, you know, it's a huge problem. And even though, you know, we have some established orphanages and a clinic in Kenya, you know, last time we were there, to be honest, all of these churches, if it's in the upper classes or in the slums, they preach the gospel nonstop. So they are filled to the capacity with the knowledge of the word of God. So
that's right.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, all it changes is they put the speakers louder and louder to the point that we have to put something in our ears.
That's right. Yes.
You know, I don't know if you noticed that.
Yes.
In these countries. And, but you know what I was preaching to them is, first and most of all, I asked them, listen, when did Britain leave? 1960, I think it was 63 or 68. Mm-hmm. I said, so you have decades to reorganize your country. Yeah. I said, if you really want to be the hands and feet of Jesus, go outside of your congregation and pick up all the garbage.
Yeah.
You know, it was just Nairobi and all these places filthy. And I had a situation where I saw the children playing next to rotten rats. And and some of them, you know, were licking their hands after playing in this crazy water. And then there was used condoms that the children were playing with.
Right. That's terrible.
You know, so in these countries, the gospel is simply get off your three letters and clean the neighborhood. That's how you're going to save lives. because these children, they get sick and they die.
Yeah.
Because of stomach issues, you know. So, you know, to understand the gospel, it's not only the 66 books in the Bible.
Yeah.
It is to live it. It is a tangible, fixing a tangible problem. That is tangible love. That is true living, living fountain. Mm-hmm. So it's a topic river, but I guess, you know, you see what I see, and then God bless you, because, you know, there's many Christians that don't notice this stuff. And when you start to talk with them, all of a sudden it's like their eyes open up and they're like, you know what, you're making some sense here, because just giving money and going there and being treated like, you know, a celebrity, that's not the solution.
No.
They will milk you. They look at you as ATM machine.
Yes.
And then stuck with the problems, and the garbage is all over still.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, what do they do in many occasions? They blame the white man.
Yeah.
Right. And it's a vicious circle.
That's right.
And they will never receive that healing until they pinpoint that finger, that pointing finger towards them.
Yeah. What's incredible, David, and you've really kind of touched on this already, is the average African church knows so much more the word of God than the average Western church. That's a big generalization, of course, because we still have the big denominational churches, but I'm talking about the smaller churches. You know, the likelihood of, even here in the UK, you know, if you walk up to an African person in London, the likelihood of that person knowing Jesus as compared to the typical Londoner is much, 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 much higher. The word of God has spread like wildfire around Africa and around India and Pakistan and these places, much more so than they have here. So not only are we talking about what's taking place in terms of material support of Westerners sending money and, you know, material support to these other countries, but our own countries are starved of the gospel. There are so many more people here in these Western countries that need to hear the gospel. And what is the modern church thinking about, you know, giving a couple of missionaries a little bit of money to go out to these countries abroad to preach the gospel to every creature, when most people in these Western countries that we are living in, brother, don't know the gospel? I didn't know the gospel even after God started showing his hand very directly in my and my wife's lives together. You know, when it started becoming very clear and apparent that the Lord God Almighty was taking care of us again and again and again, and we're seeing, you know, miracle after miracle take place, I didn't know what to do with that growing faith. You know, I had spent 3 decades myself as an atheist. And so I could see that God was showing himself to us. And so my atheism quickly went out the window when I started realizing, okay, God is taking care of us. There's no other explanation for these things. Okay. But I didn't know what to do with that faith, because I literally did not know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I wasn't a young man. I was 49 years old, almost 50, when I finally heard the gospel. Prior to that, for like 3 or 4 years prior to that, I had read, you know, the gospel according to Matthew, I believe Mark, possibly John. I'd read Genesis and Exodus. I'd read the book of Job. You know, all of this was done in the context of a graduate program, because I was studying philosophy and, you know, theology, classics, literature. So I read those sort of key books of the Bible as a, you know, as a philosopher, as an intellectual, but I didn't know the gospel. And I'd even grown up in a church Yeah, I was confirmed in the Episcopal Church in the U.S. as a 12-year-old boy. You know, the Episcopal Church being the U.S. version of the Anglican Communion, the Church of England in the United States. But when I started seeing God's hand in our lives and Catherine's in my lives, we didn't know what to do with that because we simply did not hear the gospel. You know, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We didn't hear the gospel until 2015, but we were beginning to come to faith in 2012. So we had about a 3-year gap there where we weren't quite sure what to do. And that's ridiculous. Mm. You know, for me to be a 49-year-old man, well-educated, 2 master's degrees, having studied, you know, philosophy and religion, East and West, full-time for 3 years, I didn't know the gospel. Mm. Where has the church been to where somebody like myself, who's pretty plugged into things, somehow didn't know the simplicity of the faith-based gospel? Yeah, I'll tell you, even around the autumn of 2012, we were living in Spain for about 7.5 months. And I think it was only then that I started getting this notion from various places that some people consider Jesus Christ to be God. Okay, I always knew Jesus Christ as the Son of God, but I had no idea that Jesus Christ is God. Wow. So where has the church been? Because I'm not an unusual character. If I didn't hear the gospel over the course of my first 50 years, even despite having been confirmed as a 12-year-old boy in the Anglican Church, I'm not alone. So the overwhelming majority of people in our own Western countries do not know the true faith-based gospel, a simple Romans Road, you know, telling of the gospel. What must we do to be saved? The church is by and large not answering that question of Acts chapter 16.
Because the church is not fully living yet for Jesus. And you know, for the listeners, I'm not talking about all. God has separated for his own many, and they're doing the will of God, but we are talking as a whole denominations.
Exactly.
We are in big trouble. And, you know, I can relate to you. I grew up as a Roman Catholic. As you know, in Poland, 98% of people claim to be Roman Catholics.
Right.
So I was baptized during the Soviet era, during the behind the Iron Curtain. I had to be baptized by my parents, by the priest, underground.
Right.
It was hidden. Nobody could really know about it, just few people. And it was all hush hush. Otherwise, my parents could lose their job.
Right.
You know, so, but like you said, even though we had some religion classes, there was nothing like being born again. There was no talk about being born again. It was just formulas and dogmas of the church.
Yes.
So in other words, of a certain gang that you all of a sudden belong to by birth, you know. And
exactly.
So it's a sad situation. But how do you conquer an army? You know, there is, I would say, 3 top ways of conquering an army or a nation. One is through head-on collision. If you got an army that's prepared and ready to go, mm-hmm. it's a head-on collision. You conquer the tribe or you conquer the nation or the army. Second one is deception. The third one, and that's deception. That's what we see in the Western countries. They're being dismantled from the inside out.
Yes.
Weakened on purpose while the Eastern countries are receiving all the money in order to build their countries. That's one of the reasons why the oil in Canada is being bought by the liberals in Saudi Arabia and not being brought forth from Alberta. It's right. to even the odds for the Third World War that they are preparing for this world. So, but that's another topic. But the third way to conquer is to attack the supply lines, mm-hmm. right? Once you have the supply lines, pretty much the army is going to starve sooner or later.
Yeah.
And that's what we are seeing in Christendom.
Yes.
The West is under such attack because still some money are flowing to all of the nations all around the world in order to preach the gospel. So that's why the West is under such a heavy and crazy attack when it comes to Christianity. So in one hand, we have a situation where, yes, a lot of congregations are sending money somewhere abroad where the people can stand up there and clap. And it's kind of they write a check and they feel they're excused
yes.
from fixing their own backyards.
Exactly.
But it's a delusion. And so that's what we are seeing here. And what I can add to the third reason why the churches are apathetic and without direction and without shepherds that will defend them, protect them, and sound the trumpets of warning is because what they've done is they have closed off the access, any access, to the real prophets of God.
Yes.
Okay, so what they did instead, they accumulated for themselves so-called prophets that will preach strawberries and raspberries mm-hmm. To people's ears so that they would not rattle the boat too much. Because what people need to understand, certain congregations in Calgary, just to maintain them, they're so big, just to maintain them, it's $3-4 million a year.
Yeah.
So it became a business venue. So these so-called leaders, they don't want to rattle the feathers too much because they don't want to lose their wallets.
That's right.
Right. And so people like us that pinpoint certain things like this and say, well, where are you with a pointing finger? Where are you? We become persona non grata.
That's right.
You know, any people that have a prophetic calling, any seers that see, what is a seer? It's like a person standing on a castle wall. And because of his positioning, he can see farther into the land. So he can see the enemies approaching. He can see certain problems. And that's what a prophet should do. The prophet should warn the flock. Prophet should, speak really what Jesus is saying, and always the Bible will confirm it.
Yes.
But unfortunately, they've closed off the doors to the prophetic, and this is the problem in North America, especially Canada. In the United States, the situation is different. I believe, first and most of all, I personally am called for Canada. For a day as this, but I understand as well that whatever is happening in Canada will affect United States and vice versa, because they are two sisters. And unfortunately, at this moment, Canada is a retarded sister of the United States, and it's a very sad state of affair. And I hope that God will, in his mercy, do something with this tyranny and the tyrants that are ruling here.
Yeah. I really like what you have to say about what a seer is. I mean, we are called to be watchmen, and a watchman is that very person that you were talking about, David, sitting up in the castle walls, being able to look out and see what's coming and to be sure to warn those who are behind the walls, behind the fortified walls. Here's what's coming. Prepare. Get ready.
And for the past 20 years, we've been warning people, almost 20 years, that this, and this, the Lord is showing us that is coming. And guess what? We were treated like lepers. We were ridiculed, laughed at. To be honest, just in the past 2 years, when the judgment has begun, not only in Canada, but all over the world. I believe God allowed this because he wanted to shake off all these people sitting on a fence.
Yes.
And one of the visions my brother had was he saw a huge hand and a huge fence. And all these people sitting on that fence, and God took his hand and started shaking that fence and said, there is no more room on a fence. You're either with me or you're against me.
Amen.
And notice, this is the biggest segregation of sheep and the goats the world has ever seen.
That's right.
And it's done for a reason. It's done for a reason. It's done for a judgment. And the judgment starts in the house of God.
Amen.
So we're going to see some amazing and terrible at the same time things. It's all ahead of us.
And I want to thank everyone for joining us for today's podcast. Who do you know that's on fire for God today? Please reach out to us if you have a potential guest in mind that you'd like us to have on the podcast. Also, if you'd like to learn more about our ministry, you can visit our website at onfireforgod.today. If you'd like to support our work, you can donate via the website as well. We'd also greatly appreciate your ongoing prayers for God's guidance, protection, and provision for this ministry of His, and that He continues to strengthen us all with His godly wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and spiritual discernment. Thank you, folks. Feel free to share this podcast everywhere. Until next time, let's continue to ask our loving Father in Jesus' name what we can do to be truly on fire for God today and every day for the remainder of our time in this last day's world within which we're all living. To him goes all the glory, all the time. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and have mercy upon thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. That comes from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26, to which I say, Amen. Okay, thank you again, folks, for joining us for episode 2, which is the follow-on interview with David Pavlovsky. If you've not yet listened to episode 1 in our first interview with David, I really suggest you do so. And be sure to stay tuned because this is just part one. Today's episode, episode 2, is just part one of a 3-hour follow-on interview that I did with David Pavlovsky, in which he shares a lot of personal insight into experiences that he had as a young child, right up through the time of coming to Christ, and also receiving words from the Lord, things that have to do with these last days within which we're living. So stay tuned. Thank you again for listening to episode 2, and we look forward to having you join us next time.